Well, hey, church, welcome. From wherever you're tuning in at today, Facebook, YouTube, our website, ABC6, welcome to all of you, to all the men and women joining us at the three correctional facilities that join us every single week. Come on, somebody, welcome to you. If you're joining us for the first time, know that it is an honor, absolute honor to serve you. You picked a really good day to be a part for your first day because today is our birthday. Come on, today is the day that we celebrate 9 years as a church. And I know if it's your first time here, it might not mean a lot to you, but for those who've been apart for a while, this day matters to us. It is a day that we celebrate. And I believe personally that celebration is biblical. It is biblical. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. Thank him for what he has done. Thank him for all that he has done." And so I just want to take the first few moments today to thank him for all that he has done. We celebrate 9 years today. It has been an incredible 9 years. And one of the reasons that we celebrate, not only is it fun to celebrate, but another reason is celebration is actually a value of ours. We will celebrate the work of Jesus in and through his church. Every number has a name. Every name has a story. Every story matters to God. See, I believe we measure what matters, and people matter a ton to us and to God, and so we measure that. So let's celebrate for these first few moments together. 9 years ago this weekend, my wife and I, with our two girls and a handful of friends, started Rock City Church on April 3rd, 2011. And on that very first Sunday, 430 people crammed into the AMC movie theater in Grandview to attend that very first worship experience. And on that very first Sunday, 43 people made a personal decision to follow Jesus. And I know many of those 43 are joining us right now. You're still a part of the church. We love you. We are so grateful for what God is doing in your life, what he's done. Over the past 9 years, get this, church, nearly 23,000 people have joined those first 43. Matter of fact, the number of people who in 9 years have filled out a Connect card and checked that box that says, "Today, I'm making a personal decision to follow Jesus," get this, 22,798 people have checked that box. Come on, that's reason from your home to celebrate right now. 22,798 people. That is making heaven full, amen? In 9 years, we've been able to give away more than 18,000 brand new pairs of shoes. We've helped to provide more than 100,000 backpacks filled with supplies to school children in need. We've been fortunate to serve more than 16,000 teachers, lead more than 5,000 men and women into a relationship with Jesus behind bars through the three prison campuses that join us every weekend. Through the Columbus Dream Center, we've been able to serve more than 216,000 meals, provide free medical care to more than 1,700 people right here in our own city. Not to mention all the free showers and free laundry that we make available to those in need every single week through the Dream Center. We've been able to deliver more than $1.3 million worth of groceries, one $50 bag at a time, to more than 2,700 local families right here in our own city in need. In 9 years, we've been able to give more than $6.7 million beyond our walls toward missions and outreach, both local and global. Since year one, that's 20% of our entire operating budget that's been given beyond our walls to build and fund children development centers in Central America, where more than 600 children are personally sponsored by the incredibly generous people of Rock City Church, and where hundreds more, along with their families, are receiving holistic care. Most receiving their only full meal a day at the center because of you. To build and fully staff and supply medical clinics in some of the poorest communities in the world. To provide and fund, support fully 43 missionaries and their families in some of the most hard to reach parts of the world. To launch churches all across the United States of America. We've given more than $700,000 to date to plant brand new life-giving churches just like this one in cities all across the nation. In 9 years, we've been so fortunate to become a go-to resource for the people in our city when it comes to providing disaster relief and response. With boots on the ground and supplies constantly being sent into the hardest hit disaster zones around the world, when disaster strikes, you know we will be there. And every year, we've continued to be recognized as one of the top 100 fastest growing churches in America, now one of the largest churches in America. But consider this, that before the quarantine, we would welcome between 6,000 and 7,000 people through our doors every weekend for a live and in-person worship experience. But now, since the quarantine, week one, we were able to bring this same worship experience digitally into more than 25,000 homes. Week two, into nearly 32,000 homes. And just this past weekend, week three, we were able to bring this worship experience into more than 42,000 homes. People who were dialed into a worship experience on Facebook, YouTube, our website, ABC6. Now, all that to say, this story that you and I get to be a part of together, it is truly an only God story. Amen. And what an absolute honor it is to serve Jesus alongside every single one of you. What an absolute honor it is to serve our city, the world around us. And I just want to make clear today that we celebrate this day, not what we've done, but what God has done. We've never believed that we're a great church, but we do believe that we serve an incredibly great God. And so to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Come on, from your home, from your office, wherever you're tuning in from, would you make some noise for Jesus right now? Come on, could you put your hands together? Can we celebrate what God has done and is doing and what we believe God will continue to do? We serve an incredible God. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is the passage we started this brand new series with called Peace in Place. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. If you do this, watch what he says here. If you pray about everything, you will experience the peace of God, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the idea is that prayer is the pathway to peace. That if you want peace in your heart, in your home, you better learn how to pray. If you pray about everything, you will have peace. If you want peace and desire peace, then the more prayer, the more peace in your life. And isn't peace the one thing that you and I desire most, especially now? Because if I'm honest, when I heard this week the President of the United States announce that these quarantines would be extended through April 30th, come on somebody, my heart in that moment was not filled with peace. Am I the only one? Matter of fact, if I can be honest with you today, my heart was filled with extreme anxiety in that moment. I still can't wrap my mind around extending this thing for another 4 weeks or more, and I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one getting just a little bit stir crazy in my house. I know I'm not the only one worried about this virus and the impact of it. For those who are most vulnerable and at risk, I know I'm not the only one worried about the economy. I know I'm not the only one worried about people losing their jobs. I know I'm not the only one trying not to kill my kids. Come on, somebody. I know I'm not the only one. And For all the parents in our city and around the world, you're trying to be a parent, you're trying to be a teacher, a counselor, a referee, an activities director, an at-home chef, along with everything else that a parent is supposed to be. I know it's hard. I know these are challenging times. Maybe you don't have kids in your home, but you're married, and now you're starting to wonder, do I even like the person I'm married to? Because we've never been quarantined together for this long before. Maybe you're not married and you're home alone and you feel lost and forgotten. Maybe you're a grandparent and you've not been able to hold your grandchildren for days and weeks now or see your children. Or maybe you're the child living at home with your parents and you're not in control and that's driving you crazy. And some days, and so many of these days, peace is the last feeling on our mind. It's the last thing that we feel. I want to take a moment and read this passage to you one more time because, again, peace is guaranteed to us by God. And he doesn't make it hard for peace to be found. All you have to do is take his word and work his word. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. And if you do this, if you pray, you will experience God's peace. If you pray, instead of worrying, pray. Instead of fear, pray. Because I can choose to worry just like I can choose to pray. I can choose to focus on everything going wrong in the world around me, or I can choose to run to God who is bigger than everything going on in the world around me. Come on, church. Pray. Because prayer is the pathway to peace. So I think that the question that we ought to ask is, how then ought we pray? What then should I pray? Lord, teach me how to pray. This is what the disciples came to Jesus with in Matthew chapter 6, nearly 2,000 years ago. They said, Lord, we need you to teach us how to pray. Because if peace is found through prayer, listen, we need peace in our heart and in our home. And if prayer is the pathway to peace, then we need to know that we're praying rightly. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said this, this then is how you should pray. This is Jesus' response to the disciples saying, Lord, teach us how to do this thing called prayer. And Jesus is about to lay out for us a model prayer to pray. And for the next 7 weeks, we'll be unpacking this prayer week by week, statement by statement. Because the prayer that Jesus gives us as a model, I believe it's made up of 7 powerful statements, each statement with the power and the potential to bring an incredible download of peace into your heart, into your home. So we're going to unpack these statements week in and week out, day by day, week by week. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. First, he says, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. First thing Jesus says is when you pray, you need to know who you're praying to, that you have a Father in heaven who loves you. He's not a force, he's a Father. And he's not just an aloof Father, he's not an angry Father, he's not a distant Father. He is a loving, faithful, ever-present, and strong Father who can handle whatever it is you're going through, and he wants to take care of you, and he will take care of you. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Start with this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now we're going to stay here for these next few moments because Jesus is saying, when you pray, I want you to understand not only that you have a good Father in heaven, but I want you to think about his name. Matter of fact, if you wonder, what does the word hallowed mean? Hallowed mean, it means to honor. Jesus is saying, not only do I want you to honor his name, but I want you to understand that his name is worthy of honor, of praise. I want you to understand what makes his name so great, a name above every name. And in the Bible, if you start to study out the names of God, there are literally hundreds of names given to God. And one important thought as it pertains to the names of God is that each name of God is directly given to address a specific need in our lives. And Jesus is saying that by giving us this model prayer, when we pray, let's first recognize who God is. He is Father. But then even more than that, what kind of Father is He? What kind of God is He? Think about the name of God when you pray. Think about the greatness of His name when you pray. Before you make any request of Him, recognize who it is you're making a request of. There are two things that I think that we can recognize when we pray together this prayer. As we consider the name of God, how hallowed be your name, how honored is your name. And the first is, number one, that God is able to meet your every need. God is able to meet your every need. Now again, there are literally hundreds of names given to God. Each name of God given, providing an answer to a specific need in your life, in my life. I want to give you just a few today. Consider the name Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is my peace. The Lord, my peace. In other words, the peace of God is not conditional upon the circumstance that surrounds us. The peace of God is present no matter your circumstance because God is present with you. Remember last week we said that peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the absolute guaranteed presence of God in the midst of it. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "This peace that I give you is not like the peace the world offers you. It's not fragile like the peace offered to you by everybody else. It's not like the peace the world can give. It's not conditional upon what's going on. It's not based upon is everything going right for you right now in your life. It is a constant peace that I have to give to you." The peace of God is an enduring peace. It is steadfast, just like God is steadfast. So Jesus says, listen, this peace that I give you is not like the world's peace. It's better than that. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Embrace this peace that I give to you. Here's another name of God, Jehovah Rapha. It means God who heals. And how we ought to be calling upon the name of God who heals right now. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Some of you are learning right now, maybe for the first time in your life, that you've been relying on you. You've been relying on what you've built. You've been relying on what you've made. You're starting to see what a gift it is to be reminded that I'm not God, but you are God and you are my provider. That it is you, O Lord, that has given me the breath to breathe today. It's you, O Lord, that has caused my heart to beat. It is you, O Lord, that has given me a mind to think, the ability to dream, hands to work. Every passion and every gift in every day is a gift from you, my provider. Jehovah Raha means the Lord my shepherd. When I've lost my way, when I don't know the way forward, you lead, you guide. Just like you provide. And I could go on and on and on with the names of God and how every name of God is directly related to a need in our life. But I love what happens in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is being sent by God on a mission to deliver the people of God. Moses is standing at a burning bush and he says to the Lord as he's receiving his instructions from God, he says, "God, suppose I go to your people and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And what if they ask me, what is his name? What is your name? What then shall I tell them?" As if he's trying to get God to give him a name that we can all understand, one that might make sense to us in our limited and worldly understanding. And I love God's response. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because God just responds to Moses. He says, "I am who I am. I am who I am. So this is what you say to my people. I am has sent me to you." Now that's quite a name. You see, what God is really saying in this passage is if you have a need, then I am the one who can meet your need. If you have a need, I can meet it. Whatever you need, I am. I am the fix. I am the cure. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am your rock. I am your rest. I am your sustenance. I am your healing. I am your deliverance. I am your freedom. I am your hope. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your provision. You see, there is nothing that you need that God's not the answer to. God just simply says, if you want to know who I am, that's it. I am. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, my God will meet not just some of your needs. He says, I will meet all of your needs. My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. There is nothing you need that God can't supply. There is no hurt you feel that God cannot fix. There's no issue that you're facing that he can't turn around. There is no mistake that you've made that God can't redeem. There is no sickness so great that God can't heal. No anxiety so deep that God can't settle. No fear so big that God can't crush. Because nothing is impossible for God. And what Jesus is telling us with this model prayer, and again, we know this as the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, I want you to think about who God is when you pray. I want you to understand you have a good, good Father in heaven, but he's not just good, he's strong, he's able, he's everything you need. That number one, my God is able to meet your every need. And number two, my God is greater than your greatest issue. My God is greater than your greatest challenge. My God is greater than your greatest struggle. God is greater than your insecurity. God is greater than your uncertainty. God is greater than your doubt, your lack of faith. God is bigger, stronger than your greatest adversary. He's bigger than your biggest problem. He's bigger than your biggest marriage issue, health issue, parent issue, security issue, single issue. No misstep can keep God from using you. No mistake is unredeemable by God. Just look at some of the absolute train wrecks that God still chose to use in the Bible and that he still uses today. God never picked the perfect person to use because there aren't any perfect people to use. Only Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I could never live up to. We could go on and on and on and on if you need me to. There is nothing that you can come up with this side of heaven. There is nothing that you could put in this blank that God's not greater than. And I think what Jesus is trying to say to us as he gives us this model prayer is, hey, before you start asking God to fix your problems, meet your needs, before you run to God to fix that big, long laundry list of items you've got to fix, especially everything on that list that's causing you to lose sleep at night, would you just take a minute or two before you ask him to do anything? And would you consider for a moment how big, how great he is? Before you all run to God with anything, could you just take a moment to recognize how big he is, that God is bigger than, that he is greater than. Before you bring anything to him, would you consider for a moment who you're bringing it to? Because I'm telling you, if we would do this, that anxiety, that stress, that worry would begin to fail. When you realize how big God is, that thing that's been keeping you up at night starts to look a whole lot less and less scary. And more insignificant as I focus on the greatness of God. It might not be insignificant to you, but it's insignificant compared to him. It might still be a great challenge for you, but there is no thing too big for our God. His name is greater than all others because he is greater than. Come on, somebody. His name is greater than because he is greater than. because he is greater than. God is greater than our worried hearts, and he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And I love how God just boils it all down. You and I don't have to remember hundreds of names. He just says, the best thing that I can do for you if you want to know who I am is just to remember that I am. I am an ever-present help in times of trouble, says the Lord. I am a rock-solid foundation for your feet that you can stand on, and this foundation that I am will never be shaken. I am a God who provides for you. I am God who heals. I am God who redeems. I am God who restores. I am God who comforts those who mourns. And I'm not just God who brings peace. I am God. I am peace. And I am with you. I am for you, says the Lord. And he is God who extends to you and to me the greatest gift of all. Salvation that is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name. You know what I think is so amazing about God as we consider his name, as we consider the greatness of his name and who he is? That God has called you and me by name. That before ever you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you, he set you apart, he called you by name. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. He says, I have called you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. He's called you by name because he loves you. He cares for you. You who may feel alone and forgotten today, all shut up in your house by yourself. Listen, he knows your name. And he's calling your name. And I want you to hear this promise that he gives in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Listen to this promise. God says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. I will heal your land. If my people who are called by my name, that is you and that is me, we would humble ourselves and pray, God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. I will heal your land. I will hear, forgive, and heal. So here's what I want us to do today together, wherever you are, whatever you need. Here's what I want to ask you to do from your home, wherever you're watching. Whatever you need from him, I want you to do this. I want you just to open up your hands before the Lord. We're going to pray together. I want to pray for you. I want to ask you to pray with me. But if we could just symbolically open up our arms, our hands to the Lord as if we're ready to receive whatever it is we need from him. Open your hands to the Lord. If you need healing, open your hands to him. If you need his provision, open your hands to him. If you need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, open your hands to him. Maybe you need wisdom. Maybe you need patience. Maybe you need strength, understanding. Would you open your hands to him? Maybe you need reconciliation between you and God. Maybe it's reconciliation between you and somebody you're living with. Maybe you're a parent, a grandparent, and what you really need is a son, a daughter, to come back home spiritually. Maybe you're a child and it's a mother, a father, a grandparent, a friend, a sibling, a classmate Listen, you've been believing God for. They're not living for him. They're running from God. And you would say, Lord, right now, I want to receive them home again. Would you bring them home again? I need strength. I need healing. I need peace. Maybe for some of you, it's forgiveness. I need forgiveness today. You see, the Bible says that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short, and the wage of sin is death. You and I are all in the same boat when it comes to that, but His promise is this. God says, I have a gift for you. And it's forgiveness. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we're given this incredible promise. He says, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. So maybe salvation is what you need. Forgiveness is what you need. Would you put your hands out before the Lord, and right where you are, would you close your eyes as we pray and receive from Him now salvation, healing, forgiveness, mercy, strength, peace, provision, wisdom, reconciliation, faith. Jesus, we receive from You now. Hear us now as we pray. You know what it is that we need. So, Lord, by faith, we receive salvation, mercy, healing, hope, peace. Right there from your home, would you pray this prayer with me? Would you just say, Jesus, I believe that You died for me. You were raised from death to life for me. And that salvation is mine through You. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.